Yeah, let's roll. Okay, I was interested in this topic, A, because we did Yahari Val Yavar, and B, because it's one of the most intriguing topics just in general. If you ever want to get a good discussion going in general about choosing, you know, triage, you know, choosing life versus a life. Rabbi Marcus was just telling me yesterday that there's a doctor that he knows that was involved in high-level discussions in New York State about what to do. They had these discussions a year ago. They were expecting a flu epidemic where there would be millions of people have the flu at the same time, and there would need ventilators, and there won't be enough ventilators to go around. And you have one guy who's on a ventilator who's pretty much a goner. He's going to die in a couple of weeks, a couple of days, or whatever. And another guy who just comes in and maybe with a ventilator can be saved. Do you take the one guy off and give the? These are mamish shailas halacha lemaisa that are being discussed. But also, I posed a question to my shir a couple of weeks ago that I actually saw on the Hirhurim blog. A friend of my father-in-law's, his name is Joel Rich. He's from West Orange, New Jersey. He has a relative, Davins Meishul, a very smart guy, posed the following question for thought and put it out there. And you'll see, and I posed it to my shir, my high school shir, and they were very intrigued by it. Every day they asked me, can we just learn the answer to that question? So the question goes like this. You're driving an empty train. You're the only one on the train. When an electrical fire fills your cabin with smoke, as you pass out, you manage to open the window. You regain consciousness shortly thereafter, and note the train is hurtling down the tracks at a speed which will cause an almost immediate derailment, in which you will surely be killed. At the same time, you note that you're approaching a switch in the track that you can control from the cabin. On the track ahead of you, just past the switch, are five workmen who will be killed if you slow the train to avoid derailment. If you slow the train and throw the switch, there's one individual on the track who will be killed. So basically, you have the option of either flipping a switch that's going to slow the train down and kill five people, flip a switch the other way that will slow the train down and kill one person, or do nothing and kill yourself. So what are you obligated to do? What are you allowed to do? Are you allowed to save yourself by doing nothing? Can you? Or let's even leave yourself out of it for a second.
And by doing nothing, you wouldn't be hitting any of those workers?
Right. Okay. You just become derailed, and they would be... Right. Okay. And even if you take the switch out of it, let's say, or take the yourself out of it, the train is going in a direction where right now, if you leave it as is, let's say, let's just change it a little bit, you're going to kill five people. If you flip a switch, you can hit it, send it to another track where it's going to kill one person. There are five people tied to the track on one side, one person tied to the track on the other side. Can you flip the switch to get the one person? To make it more interesting, let's say you're that one person, and you see the guy's about to flip the switch to send it your way. Can you shoot him? So that he doesn't flip the switch and will go and kill the other five people and not kill yourself, right? So these are very intriguing questions, and what's interesting about these questions, there's a lot of things that are interesting, but one of the more interesting points is that every detail of the shaila makes a difference in the halakha. Meaning there's so many nuances in these halachos that none of these two shailas are really exactly the same. You can hear 10 or 20 different ways of phrasing these questions, and there's always one nuance of difference. And that's all I'm really trying to highlight. I'm not trying to give any answers here. I'm just trying to highlight that idea that a slight nuance makes a difference. And the truth is, he set up this case in an unemotional way because, come on, it never happens where it's trained or whatever. But the truth is, this is, I titled the shir Let's Roll, because here you had, so don't call it a train, call it a plane, right? And the plane is heading into a massive amount of people, let's say the White House or the Twin Towers or something like that, where it can kill thousands of people in the direction that it's headed. And the passengers have the ability to take over the plane and just crash land it somewhere, thereby killing everyone on the plane, who are going to die anyway if they continue to go. But they're going to die an hour later if they continue to go into the towers. They'll die now if you take down the plane, right? And who knows? Maybe there's someone on the ground in the field where they're going to land, and then maybe they'll kill someone there. They're not going to kill thousands of people there because they're going to land in the middle of nowhere, but they might kill somebody there. So are they allowed? So one of the heroic acts of 9/11, there was a whole movie made about it, I was told, is that they... flight 93, is that these passengers on the plane, one of them was on the phone with his wife, and he said, you know, we know what's going on, we're going to take down this plane, because, you know, it was obviously headed toward a third target, besides for the targets that were hit, Rahman al-Islam. So the guy said to his wife, let's roll. You know, he told the other passengers on the plane, let's go. And they took over the plane and they brought it down. So it's a very heroic act. Was it halachically permissible? Had he not been speaking to his wife, but he called his rav and asked the shayla, right, what would the halach have been? So these are serious, very, very serious issues, obviously. I just want to learn through a little bit of the sugya. So, and again, I don't have complete clarity on this, so we'll just learn through together and see what sort of conclusions maybe we could draw. So first, the Rambam in Yisodei HaTorah, very famously, Perikei Halacha Zayin, Uminayin Shafilu B'makom Sakonis Nefashos Ein Over Nalachas Mishol Shaveros Elu. Even when you're in the situation of Sakonis Nefashos, you're not allowed to violate Avodah Zarah Gila Raya Shvichas Damim, Shnemar V'ahavtas Shem Elkecha B'chol Vavcha V'chol Nafshecha V'chol Modecha, Afilu Hu Notalas Nafshecha. Even if he's going to take your life, you still have to have Avas Hashem. Varigas nefesh miyisol l'rapos nefesh acheres, to kill one person in order to heal another, o lahatzil adam miyad anas, or to save another person, davar shadas notalo hu she'ein ma'avdin nefesh mipnei nefesh, that you're not allowed to do such a thing, because you're not allowed to cost one life in favor of another life, right? You're not allowed to make such decisions of one life against another life. And our Raya says, Hukash l'nefashos, fine. But the Rambam very clearly, it's yaharig val yavar, to commit murder, and you can't make a decision if you have the ability to kill one person in order to save another person's life. Meaning, this is very nogei l'maisa for those who hold that brain death is not halachically dead. Right? When someone is brainstem dead, it's a major machlokas haposkim, whether they are considered halachically dead or not. If you hold that they are not halachically dead, so taking organs that are still working from a brain dead person and using them to save another person would be a violation of this halacha in the Rambam, because you're killing one person in order to save another person's life. Now, if you do hold that brain death is death, then there's no problem in taking the organs to save another person's life, right? When we talk about the controversy of organ donation, right, that's when there's no particular person known to be in need of this organ whose life can be saved by it. But if there's someone right there that's on the table whose life can be saved by this organ, so there's no halacha, there's nothing that's omid b'fnei pikuach nefesh except for the big three, and nivel ha'meis isn't one of the big three. So if someone's already dead and you're going to take his organ to save another life that's right there, right in front of you, so then you go and you save the life that's right in front of you. So that's in terms of right. So that's why it's no gel lemaisa in terms of the brain death thing. That's where it comes up, whether it's considered killing a person. A couple of years ago, there was a maisa in the news where there was a guy who was considered brain dead for something like for years, and they were about to pull the plug on him, and he like moved his pinky or something, and it wasn't for years. No, he was brain dead. He was in the hospital, and it was like for a couple of weeks or something, and they had declared him brain dead. And they were going to pull the plug, and he like moved the pinky or blinked or something, and then they realized obviously that it wasn't brain dead. He had control of his faculties, because they started asking him questions, and he was able to move in response to the questions, and ultimately he was able to speak again. And he's, I don't know if he's fully healthy, but he's certainly living. So I emailed my brother, my sister-in-law is Rabbi Tendler's granddaughter, so my brother's very close to Rabbi Tendler. So I emailed him asking, what does Rabbi Tendler say about this? Because Rabbi Tendler holds brain death is death. And here's a guy who's declared brain dead, and he mamish came back to life. So my brother responded very correctly that the fact that a doctor doesn't know how to read a brain scan is not a raya that brain death isn't death. The doctor obviously messed up, meaning if someone was totally brainstem dead, that wouldn't happen. The doctor was just an idiot. Some doctors don't just like every profession has more competent people and less competent people. It just proves his incompetence. Similar, someone was just telling me the other day, I was talking about kashering dishwashers, and someone said, what about all the food in the filter? of the dishwasher. At the bottom there's a filter, and if there's tarfus in there, or chametz, or you know, basar kalon, what about all that? So I said, well, anyway, even if there, first of all, if you have a working dishwasher, this is obviously way off topic, but if you have a working dishwasher, the food in the filter doesn't come back up and get regurgitated into the wash cycle. It shouldn't, if your dishwasher is working properly. And even if it does, it's pogum already. How many times did soap hit that food as it the dishwasher drains itself out? It's totally pogum. So someone said to me, no, they know a guy who wanted to prove that it wasn't pogum, so he went into the filter, he took out food, and he ate it. I said, does that prove that it's not pogum, or prove the guy is an idiot? it proves the guy is pogum, not that the food isn't pogum. Right? In the stomach, it doesn't really prove very, very much. That someone's like Rav Shechter said that, if medicine is not Roy L'Achilas Kelev, or if any food is not Roy L'Achilas Kelev, so it's not a problem with Chametz Pesach. So people go crazy with these medications, pills and everything. So Rav Shechter used to always say, what are you talking about? It's not Roy L'Achilas Kelev. He said someone once came to Rav Soloveitchik and said, I put my pills in front of my dog and my dog ate it. Rav Soloveitchik said, you have a crazy dog. Doesn't make he thought even that doesn't make a Roy L'Achilas Kelev. It just means that it's a crazy dog. Anyway, but getting back to our topic. So the Rambam says you're not allowed to kill somebody in order to save somebody else's life. Right? Very well known halacha. The Gemara Pesachim, Chafayim and Beis, Shvichas Dam Gufe Minalon, Svaruhu. Right? We know the famous Svara because the story with Rava, who Dasal Kameh the Rava, Mari Dara Yamali Zil Katli Laplani Vilo Katil Nulach. Someone was told that go kill somebody else, and if you don't kill that other person, I'm going to kill you. Amar Lei Likatlucha Velo Tiktol. Rather than murder somebody, better to have yourself killed than to murder somebody else. Why? The well-known svara, my chazis de dama di dach sumaktvei, dilma dama du gavra sumaktvei. Maybe the other guy's blood is redder than your blood. You don't know whose blood is redder, so you cannot commit an act of murder. You have to allow yourself to get killed rather than commit an act of murder. Right? So far, this doesn't really add much to our discussion yet.
Do we say this whole sumaktvei to Akum also?
Do we say no? I don't think so. You bring that into the Shiloh with the. Are you saying that like in terms of the people on the plane? Right. Okay. Let's assume. Yeah. Let's assume not that way for now. Now, what Shilohs have we answered? So really, nothing, because the people on the plane were going to get killed. And forget the people on the plane. What if the U.S. government realizes that the planes have been hijacked, and they see that this plane is heading to a target? Can they shoot? Can they blow the plane out of the air? Now, they're killing people who are going to be killed inevitably anyway, right? So is that permissible? So my chazis only tells you that if there's a way to be passive and get, so that you won't have to make a decision of life versus life, right, then you have to do that. But it does not tell you if everyone's going to die if you don't do anything. And now you have the choice of limiting the deaths to only one group in terms of another, about that choice, right? We haven't seen anything about that yet. So that's where the Tosefta Maseches Trumas comes in. Famous Tosefta, Siyah Shabbat Adam Shamar Lahem Goyim Tnu Lanu Echad Michem V'Nar Geyu V'Imlav Hareyanu Horgines Kulchem. If a group of Goyim, a group of people who were traveling, and Goyim say to them, give us one of your group so that we can kill that person, and if you don't give us one, if you don't choose one to die, we're going to kill all of you. So then Yahargu Kulan better to get all of you killed rather than to be moser nefesh achas miyisrael, rather than to give over to for us to choose any one person to be killed. Aval im yichduhu lahem kigon she yichdu l'sheva ben bichri yitnu lahem val yahargu kulan. But if they identify one person that they want, they say, give us that man so we can kill him, and they identify which man they want, And if you don't give us that person, we're going to kill all of you, like the situation of Sheva ben Bichri, then you can go ahead and give that man over. Now, it's interesting that the Tosefta feels the need to add in Kigon Sheyichdu L'Sheva ben Bichri, just like the situation of Sheva ben Bichri. Are we incapable of understanding what it means that they were miyached a certain person, that they identified a person? It's a pretty simple concept to understand. Why would the Tosefta specifically go out of its way to say, like they did with Sheva ben Bichri. So it's important to know a little bit of Navi. I put the Pesukim on the sheet, which I probably shouldn't have done. If there are Shemos Hashem here, it could be a big problem. But anyway, I don't think there are. But the situation with Sheva ben Bichri was that, as the Navi introduces Sheva ben Bichri, that Visham Nikri Ish Beliyaal Ushmo Sheva ben Bichri. The way the Navi introduces us to this man, Sheva ben Bichri, was that he was an Ish Beliyaal. He was a no good guy. He was a really bad guy. And Sheva ben Bichri was Morid b'Malchus. He cursed out David. He said all sorts of terrible things about him. He was basically a very, very bad guy. So Yoav and David's armies were after Sheva ben Bichri, and Sheva ben Bichri was on the run, and Sheva ben Bichri went into a town where he was hiding, right? So to make a long story short, the armies of Yoav were surrounding the town, and the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Tazayin over there in Shmuel Beis Parachav, Vatikra Isha Chachama Mini Ir, Shimu Shimu, Imruna El Yoav, Karavad Hena Va'adabra Elecha. A woman calls Yoav to speak to him, a woman from the city. Vayikrave La Vatomri Isha Ha'ata Yoav. She says, are you Yoav? Vayomer Ani. He says, yeah, that's me. Vatomer Lo, Shema Divrei Amasecha. Vayomer Shema Yanochi. She says, listen to me. He says, okay, I'm listening. Vatomer Lemar. Daber yidabru v'rishon alemor sha'ol yisha'alu ba'avel v'chein heisemu v'chein heisamu anochi shlume emuna Yisrael ata mevakesh la'amis ir ve'em b'Yisrael lama seval enachlas Hashem. She says, don't we look like reasonable, decent people? You're going to kill a whole city of innocent, reasonable, good people? What are you, crazy? Vayan Yoav Vayomer. So Yoav says, what are you talking about? Chalila chalila liyim aval aviyim ashchis. You think I'm on a path of destruction? I just want to wipe out everything? No, lo chena davar. Ki ish mehar Ephraim Sheva ben Bichri Shemo Nasa yada b'melech b'David Tnu osol levadov ve'elchame ala ir. There's one man that is a Morid b'malchus. We want him. You hand that man over and we'll go on our way. Just give us over Sheva ben Bichri. V'tomer ish al Yov hinei rosho mushlach elecha Badachoma. She says, okay, we'll chuck his head over the wall, and then you'll see that he's dead, and you can go on your merry way. They cut off the head of Sheva ben Bichri, and they throw it to Yoav. And they blow the trumpets, and they all the armies leave, and Yoav goes back home, and everyone's happy. Right? That's the story. So basically, what's the Tosefta highlighting when it says like Sheva ben Bichri? Well, Sheva ben Bichri wasn't just a normal guy. Sheva ben Bichri was a guy who was Chayiv Misa. He was a Morid B'Malchus. So it might be different, and there's a discussion raised in the Yerushalmi, it might be different between the case where a group of Gayim attack and they say, look, give us any one of you, and it's a group of completely innocent people, where you're going to have to hand over an innocent person, even if they have identified who the innocent person is. That might be different than Sheva ben Bichri. Sheva ben Bichri is, they're saying, give us a person who deserves to die anyway, who's Chayiv Misa anyway. And when they identify that person, so then maybe that case, you can give up the person. But if the guy's not Chayiv Misa anyway, maybe you can't give up the person. So that's in fact the Machlokas in the Yerushalmi. So Machlokas Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. If you look at the last two lines, yeah.
Who is the one that said like Sheva Mikri? Does that mean the same way, like even raise your head to that, even the same way Sheva Mikri, people didn't give him over, they killed him. Themselves.
Yeah, that it does not seem anyone says that you're actually allowed to do that if the person is willing to, you know, if the person who's making the threat is willing, let them do the dirty work, right? Yeah, but that is striking that they actually did the murder. So the Yerushalmi quotes two dayas. Says Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, "V'hu she'ei chayiv misa k'shev ben Bichri." That Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, only if the guy's chayiv misa k'shev ben Bichri, that's when you give him over. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, "Afal pi she'eino chayiv misa k'shev ben Bichri." No, he doesn't have to be chayiv misa. We're just giving a mashul because that's the story in Tanakh where a whole group of people were threatened if they don't give over one guy. But it's not really about that. About someone being chayiv misa k'shev ben Bichri. How do we paskin? Meaning, in our case, the people in the World Trade Center are not Chayiv Misa. People on the plane aren't Chayiv Misa. They're all going to die if we do nothing. So can we give over, so to speak, the people on the plane over here, like Sheva ben Bichri, actually kill the people on the plane who are innocent in order to save the larger group in the World Trade Center? Or do we say, no, we can't make that decision, everyone's got to die? Or the people on the plane themselves, can they say, you know what, we're going to take down this plane and kill our fellow passengers, right, in order to save all the people in the World Trade Center? Or do you say, no, they can't make that decision unless someone's chayiv misa, unless all the people in the plane were chayiv misa k'shev ben bichri, right? So that really gets to the point of our shayla. So says the Rambam, Nashim sha'amru lahem ovdei chavim tenu lanu echa michen v'nitma osa v'im lav nitma es kolchen yizmu kulan valim shol nefshach from Yisrael. That's when it's a threat of arayos. V'cheinim amru lahem ovdei chavim tenu lanu echa michen v'na hargenu v'im lav naro kulchen. Give us one of you so we can kill him, and if not, we can kill all of you. Yahargu kulam valim shol nefshach from Yisrael. V'im yichdu lahem v'amru tenu lanu plonui o naro ges kulchen im hayo mechuyiv misa. If the guy was already chayv misa like Shev ben Bichri, then you can give him over. We don't teach him to do that lechadchila. But if he's not chayv misa, you can't give him over. So the Rambam paskins, he's got to be chayv misa in order to allow giving him over. Says the Ramban Yerideya, right? So, what does Rama say so far? That you don't give them over unless they identify the person. It's interesting that Rama puts the Rambam right after the first day. The first day is, right, Rambam says that he has to be Chayv Misa. It's a little bit strange, right? But anyway, the Rama quotes two deos. He has a stam in the Yesh Omer, and the stam seems to be against the Rambam. The stam seems to say that he doesn't have to be Chayiv Misa, as long as that person is identified as the one who can be given over. You're not making the choice at random. It's a person who's clearly identified as the one whose death could save the other life. Now, there might be a difference over here, though. There are several differences, but one of the differences is that the people on the plane are actually roadfim, not intentionally, but the path that they're on is they are being roadef the people in the trade center. Whereas when it's just a group of people, the threat does not really come from within. Meaning, when you don't have anyone who's chayv misa and there's just someone in the group, he's not threatening to do anything. It's his existence that's going to cause others to kill, but he's not going to be doing any. He's not, you know, headed after anybody, trying to hurt anybody, right? Whereas the people on the plane, although they're not trying to hurt anybody, they're going to. Right? They stay where they are. They're going to come hurtling into the towers and kill people. So, before we get into that, into what a rodef, you know, how rodef plays a role over here, it's also another issue of chaye sha'a versus chaye olam. And that is as follows. Now, the Behuda is a tshuva. I'm not going to have time to read everything inside. Nod Behuda is a tshuva where someone apparently asked the Nod Behuda about the case where a woman is in labor and the child is going to kill the mother, meaning having the child born is going to kill the mother, where the halacha is that if the child's still inside the mother, you can cut up the fetus in order to kill the fetus to save the mother, because the fetus is considered a rodef, right? So the Nod Behuda was asked by somebody, what do you mean because the kid is considered a rodef? Even if he's not considered a rodef, you should kill the child. You know why? Even if he weren't a rodef, killing a child, you're not chayiv misa for. Killing an unborn fetus, you're not chayiv misa for. It's aser, but you're not chayiv misa for it. So anyway, even if you weren't a rodef, even if it weren't for the din of rodef, you should kill the child. You should kill the fetus. Says Nod Behuda, what are you talking about? Just because you're not chayiv misa, you think it's not an act of murder? When you kill a treifa, a person who's a treifa, who's going to die soon, is it not an act of murder? You're not chayiv misa for killing a treifa, right? But it's still an act of murder. So says Nod Behuda, Haurig a treifa is you're not allowed to kill a treifa to save a healthy person either. So you're not allowed to kill a fetus to save a healthy person. Right? But that's the Yisod Nod Behuda says. A treifa is going to die soon. He only has chayisha left. He only has a couple of hours, a couple of months, whatever, a couple of weeks. He only has chayisha left. We know he's on his way to dying. He says Nod Behuda, we're all on our way to dying. Right? That's, you know, You have 100 years left, whatever it is. Right? We're all on our way. So Nadvida says, you can't take Chayisha'a in the interest of saving someone else's Chayyallah. Now, people on the plane, if they keep on going, they're going to live another hour. We can shoot them down, that they can die right now and save the people in the tower. Right? We're going to take away the Chayyallah, and we're going to say, what do you mean? These guys are going to die anyway. What do you mean they're going to die anyway? They're going to die in an hour. But they have a lot. They still have an hour worth of life to live. They could be doing tshuva, and they could be whatever, calling their families, and whatever they could be doing. They, in that hour, it could be productive. And even if it's not as productive as the chayyolam of the people in the towers, we can't make that decision. We can't save someone else's chayyolam for the chayisha. That's
we possibly like this
about chayisha. We don't kill a trefa in order to save another person's life.
No.
If you have a person who's deathly ill in a hospital but has a couple of weeks to live, you can't kill him to take his organs to save another person's life. Right? You're not allowed to kill somebody to take the brain dead case.
I'm saying more in the case of the where you say I'll kill you if you don't kill this trefa. Can you kill the trefa instead of killing
yourself
killed?
I don't believe so. So all the Marmakomos that I'm saying over, I got from the Sefer VaHaRevna, which is a very fascinating, cute Sefer. It's a Sefer, every time Rav Zilberstein Shlita sneezes, someone writes a Sefer of that sneeze. And I mean, they write down every word he breathes, every word he says. So there's a Sefer, it's a very cute Sefer, VaHaRevna, which has halacha lemaisa, interesting shilas that they say are real shilas. Hard to believe any of them are actual real shilas. Arranged al pi the seder parshas haShavua, the connections to the parshas haShavua are somewhat tenuous. For instance, this one was on Yaakov and Esav because they're twins, and it's about the twin towers. So it was somewhat tenuous connections. But these marmakomos come from that sefer. So in the sefer of Arevna, he says, Agav yeshna matom choshvim mawa erech shel chayi shal umaschayim shel shanim rabos. He says a lot of people make the mistake. They say, what value does chayi shal have versus giving someone the opportunity to live a full life? Meaning if you were to take Chayi Shah in favor of Chayi Olam, take a 100-year-old person, say, the person's they're so old anyway, they can really do anything. There's this 4-year-old that needs a heart, or a 4-year-old that needs a kidney, or whatever. Let's just kill the 100-year-old so that we can keep the 4-year-old alive. Can you imagine the moral slippery slope that leads you down to start making judgments of Chayi Shah versus Chayi Olam? I mean, Mamish leads you to very scary places if you start making these judgment calls. So it's got to be very, very careful not to take these arguments. Yeah. So we can get to that. Is there perhaps such a din of Kiddush Hashem, maybe, if you're willing to give up your life in order to save a large group of people? Right, right. Maybe your blood is redder. Who says you're allowed to go?
Is treatment the same din as like a Gosis and a Rodif? Like, can you, or are they?
They're different.
Yeah. Okay.
Each one has its own rules. Right. Yeah. So Rodif and Nefesh Shachas Nefesh. So the passengers on the surface seem that they're Rodif, right? Because they're the ones that are heading toward the towers. So he quotes from the Sefer Shimru Mishpat Simon Kuf Chav Ches that has a very good svara. He says, are the passengers a Rodif? Or is the plane a Rodif? It's not the passengers that are a Rodif. The plane is going to kill, the plane heading toward the towers is what's going to do the damage. If you were to throw the passengers toward the towers, you were to shoot them out of a cannon toward the towers at whatever speed they're going, it would do minimal damage. It's the plane, it's the tons of steel going into the tower with all that fuel. And, the fire, that's what's going to really do the damage. That's what's really going to kill people. The passengers in the plane is lo malav lo morid, what's going to happen to where the plane is headed. So the plane is really the road day. If the passengers are just in the... So the mashal, let's say you have a road day running after somebody, and the road day is holding on to a baby, let's say, or to another person. And the road day is on a bridge, and they're running toward the other person. You have a shot at the Rodef to kill the Rodef so that he won't be able to kill the person he's chasing. But if you kill the Rodef, he's going to fall off the bridge with the baby in his arms, and him and the baby are both going to die. So, can you kill the baby? I mean, through this act, you can be killing the baby also. Can you kill other people besides for the Rodef? Over here, the plane is the Rodef. The people aren't the Rodef. it's going to be collateral damage killing all those people when you aim for the rodeif. It's gevaldik svara, no? That the people themselves aren't a rodeif. I thought that was a very nice svara.
Are the terrorists rodeif?
Terrorists are for sure rodeif. Because the plane is their bullet. Right? So the terrorists are rodeif. The people who just happen to be passengers on the plane, their presence is lo malav lo morid. They're not the one that sent it, you know, sent the plane in that direction. So that's the svara. Now there's a chazan ish, which is really the linchpin. It's the key to this whole this chazan ish. This suffix of the chazan ish is the key to the whole shayla, the train shayla, the plane shayla, everything. Says the chazan ish, yesh la'ayin chazan ish in Sanhedrin simon chafei, yesh la'ayin be'echad ro'ach chetz holich la'arug anashim rabin. You see an arrow headed toward a group of people and it's going to kill many people. Let's not call it an arrow, let's call it a missile. Right? You see a missile that's headed toward a group of people and it's going to kill a lot of people. But you have the ability to divert the missile. And that missile can go instead and kill someone on the other side. One person. And the large group of people that it's headed towards are all going to be saved. And if you don't do anything, the large group is going to be killed, and that one person will stay alive. So he says, what's the first thing you think of? The Tosefta with the Yerushalmi, that one person is being Mosul Hariga, right? That's what you think of right away. He says, it's possible that it's Lo Dami, that you can't compare it. The Hasama Masirihi Pu'ula Hazaria Shel Harigas Nefesh. It's an unbelievable Svara. Says, when you're giving over someone to be killed, or they chop off Sheva ben Bichri's head and throw it over the wall, they're doing an act of murder. They're doing a maisa achzarios. U'bepu'ula zeh leka atzolos acherim b'teva shela pu'ula. The nature of that action is an act of murder. It's not an act of hatzalah. Ela hamikre garam achshav hatzalah la'acherim. So it just happens to be that by committing that act of murder, it's also going to be a hatzalah tied up in that act. But the act itself is an act of achzarius, an act of murder. Just happens to be that other people could be saved. But when there's a missile heading toward a group of people, and you're able to divert that missile, so is that diversion an act of murder or an act of atzala? Be'etzem, what's that act? It's an act of atzala which happens to kill someone. Happens to kill somebody else. Says the Chazon Ish, perhaps you can be mechalik between an act of murder that happens to be matzil versus an act of hatzala that happens to kill. Very interesting svara. Hatayas achetz misadzel tzarachar hi bi'ikara pu'ula hatzala ve'ina kshura klal b'harigas hayachid shebet tzarachar. And it's not directly linked to killing the individual on the other side. Rak achshav b'mikre nimtza b'tzarachar nefesh mi'Yisrael. It just happens to be that when you divert the missiles, it's going to hit somebody. V'achrei shebet tzadzeh yahargu nefashos shavos u'bezeh Echad, and even though on one side it could kill many, the other side it could kill one person. Efshar diyesh lanu lishtadu l'mayit avedis Yisrael b'chol mayit efshar. Maybe we have to do our act of hatzala by minimizing the loss of life. V'alo lulainus u'papus nergu b'shvila hatzalis Yisrael. Lulainus and Papus were both killed to save Jews. K'mosh katzav Rashi tani sud chesam veiz dibram asam belutkin, like we're going to see in Rashi soon. V'amu shen kalbir yichol lamu m'chitzas, and they're praised for that. We say that's great. Miu hachagara, but perhaps over here it's worse. The horig biadayim. The difference between the case of the Linus and Pabas, which we'll get to in a second, and this case is the Linus and Pabas. It's the chiluk that Eitan made before. Is that Linus and Pabas didn't kill anybody, right? They allowed themselves to be killed, but over here we're actually killing somebody. It's an actual act of murder. I mean, it's not only diverting a missile. It's not only diverting an arrow. Meaning, why don't you say like this? Let's say an arrow is coming at me. Can I duck, even if there's somebody standing behind me? So is ducking an act of murder? Ducking is not really an act of murder. Now someone standing behind me is going to get killed if I duck. Right? But ducking isn't an act of murder. It's an act of hatzalah. As opposed to over here, when you shoot a missile at the plane, that's an act. It's an act of hatzalah, but it's also an act of murder. So that's what the Chazon Ish is specific about. Right, when you have the ability to divert it toward the other side, So is that, do you say it's ikar an act of atzala? Do you say no? But it's also a maisa of murder because it's you're gearing it toward the direction of a person.
With the arrow case, let's say you duck though, but not to save yourself, right? But in order so that the person behind you would be killed, would that still like it's meaning, saving your it is like the same like it, you're saving yourself, but you're also killing someone.
Right, but since it's not an act of ducking, isn't an act of murder. My ducking isn't
killing.
The arrow that's killing. Yes, the act, the maisa, I think. So the story of Linus and Pappus is a story in Maseches Tainis Hilchos Beis. The story says that when Turinus wanted to kill Linus and Pappus, he said to them, look, if you guys are from the same nation as Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, so don't worry, God will save you, just like you saved Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah from Nebuchadnezzar. So I'm going to put you in a furnace, and let's see if you come out. So they said to him, look, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were tzaddikim. We're not tzaddikim. First, and furthermore, Nebuchadnezzar was a real king, and you're a lowlife. So they wanted to give him a little shtuck while, you know. So Nebuchadnezzar, at least it's roy that a nace will be nas al yado, because at least he's a real king. But you're just a hedyot, you're a nobody. And therefore a nace is not going to happen for you. And besides that, we're probably chayiv misa anyway. So if you're not going to kill us, God will kill us some other way. He'll send a bear, a lion, whatever. God has many shluchim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, obviously gave us over in your hands. So, okay. So he went and he killed them. So he said, Lozazim Yisham, until he was killed also. The murder was killed also. Says Rashi, Lulanis and Papuzach of Tzadikim Gemurim Hayu. In reality, they were Tzadikim Gemurim. And Belutka Hayulud Vahayinu Damrin Bekol Duchta Arugi Lude and Kalbir Yechol Lamud Vuchitzasim Ganeden. And that's what we say, that these were great Tzadikim, that they gave up their lives in order to save Klal Yisrael. V'yeshom Shenergu Albito Shel Melech Shenimtzi Saruga. Rashi adds some details to the story. What happened? The daughter of the king was found murdered. Va'amru Hayuhudim Hargua. And word got out that Jews had killed her. The Gazru Gzeir al Sunayin Shal Yisrael, and the Gzeir was made to kill all the Jews until the perpetrators were found, because we want to kill the murderers of the king's daughter. So Linus and Papa stepped up and they said, we're the ones that did it. They didn't, but they said they're the ones that did it. So here you have people who stood up, gave their own lives in order to save the masses. Right? So now it's a different case than the Rambam's case of us picking somebody. What if someone picks himself? He says, I'll go, I'll give myself up. So that's Linus and Pappas. When we say, Ein Kolbir Yichol Namu M'chitzasan, it's a great Kiddush Hashem and a great wonderful thing that they did in saving Klal Yisrael by giving themselves up. Now the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us about the fetus that's coming out, that what you do to save the mother, save the baby. Right? So the Gemara says, once Yatsa Rosho of the baby, we can't kill the baby to save the mother. Right? Ein Doch Nefesh Pnei Nefesh. They're both considered to be Rodef each other. And therefore you can't kill one in favor of the other. So Frecht Rashi over there in Sanhedrin, Vim Tomer, Maisa de Sheva ben Bichri. What about the story of Sheva ben Bichri? Hine Rosh Mushlach Elav de Dachu Nefesh ben Pnei Nefesh. Over there they made a choice of a life against another life. So says Rashi, answer number one, Hasum Yishum Dafilu Lomasru Lo Hayinerag Be'ir Kishit Pesena Yo Ve'hinerag Nimo. He says the difference is Sheva ben Bichri would have died anyway. Everyone was going to die if they didn't give him up. The whole city was going to be taken and everyone would have been killed, whereas by giving him up they were saved. And Sheva ben Bichri, so he's real, he's a rodef in that case, because it's not that they're rodef each other, that it's one life or the other life, it's either all the lives or some of the lives, right? Or one life. Inami, another answer, Mishum Demarid B'Malchus Av, or maybe because he was Demarid B'Malchus and therefore he was Chayv Misa, and that's why he was chosen. These two answers in Rashi are very critical, obviously, right? Because these are two, how you answer this question is how you're going to view this situation on the plane, right? If you look at it from the first perspective, that it's not that they're threatening each other, it's either they're all going to die or some of them are going to die, so then you could shoot down the plane, because the people on the plane are going to die no matter what. Right, the people in the towers might be saved though. But if you view it from the second perspective, the second answer of Rashi, that it's all Tali and whether you're Chayiv Misa, the people on the plane are not Chayiv Misa. So you can't go and give up their lives. Right? So that might be Tali in those two issues. There's a Sefer, Chuvas Panami Iros, Chele Gimel, Simon Ches, where he's asked about a woman who's in labor and the baby is coming out feet first. Meaning we said once it's Yatsa Rosho, right? What if it's coming out feet first? Can you cut up the babies, you know, as it's coming out, cut up the feet, and that way kill the baby that way. So whatever the details of the shayla are, toward the end he says, "V'tzarich liyashiv im yadua kasheyetsi derech margalosav sheshneim yamusu imuta lahatzel isha kamaisa l'shev ben bichri." What if they're both going to die? The baby's coming out feet first, probably doesn't have oxygen, it's going to die anyway. So then, can you kill the baby? Like the story of Shev ben Bichri, Shekasav Rashi b'Sanhedrin neiroshu mushlach elecha dedachu nefesh min nefesh hasu mishum da'afilu lo masru lo hayenerag bi'ir k'sheichabsen yoav ve'nerag nimo. So what does he say? I paskin like the first day in Rashi. If everyone's going to die anyway, you can kill one person to save the others. Right, the one who's going to die no matter what, one way or the other, can be killed in order to save the other people, and that's exactly the plain case. Right, killing the people on the plane in order to save the people in the tower. You could do such a thing. Right, that's what it would seem. That's what he writes in Varevna. La'or divrei apanami iros nir sheish makom lomar shemikivan shemimanav shach yahargu anosim b'matuz yiyamutu levateos pulas hatzala shal yirut amatuz. Since anyway the people on the plane are going to die, so you can do that hatzala by shooting down the plane. Because it's not considered to ibut chayisha versus chayolam. Mishum shesham medubar al chayisha sheinim sam b'magala sakana. Chayisha versus chayolam is you have a patient in the hospital who's not threatening anybody, who's not in a danger zone. He just happens to be that he's an older person or he's someone who's sick and is going to die in a couple of weeks. That's where you can't go and kill that person and save the other person. But over here, in the sakana itself, in this same situation of sakana, you have the chayisha people. So that you're allowed to based on that panamiros, you're allowed to knock down that plane. However, Zilberstein is not convinced that everyone agrees with that svara of Rashi. Again, we're not going to get into it because we're out of time now. But if you take a look at the Kesef Mishnah, Yesod HaTorah, hey, it seems that he's against that panamiros, against that first day in Rashi, and that you're not allowed to kill in order to save the masses. Although the Lecha Mishnah seems to be more along the lines of that panamiros. And there, Zilberstein believes that the people in the plane were heroic, obviously, in bringing down the plane and saving all those lives. They gave themselves up, and perhaps it might even be mutter for people on the ground, although it's dine nefashos, and this is very hard to paskin, for people on the ground to shoot down the plane in order to save thousands of lives that are in that tower. But again, just the amounts of details of whether your life is in danger anyway, whether you're chayiv misa, whether you're really a rode, if you're not really, every little nuance makes a difference over here. So that's why these issues of dina nefashos are left to people who are very familiar with all the details to deal with. Just stam lahagdil Torah lahadira, just to study the topic. We just gave a basic overview. Now we'll dive in as soon as Rabbi was done.